The world looked down on me. I had no hope for tomorrow, nor for eternity. Then grace came with mercy and heard this orphan's plea. Now I've been adopted, from bondage I've been set free. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. I came so empty-handed, no place to call my home, no one to really love me. But now look what I own. I'm feasting on the manna that comes from God on high. And there is no shortage, there is a vast supply. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. My family is royalty.
All right, man, that gave me getting up there, those high notes, gave me a stomach ache, did you? I know, I tell you, get up there on those high notes, man. It's, appreciate that, guys. Thank you for that song in ministering to us. I'm no longer an orphan. Born into the family of God. Grafted into the family of God. What a great experience and what a great truth that is. Open your Bible with me this morning, if you would. Join me in Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but we are going to begin reading in verse number 27 for sake of time. While you're turning, I'm going to bring you up to the point to where we are at this point, and I'll elaborate a little bit more in just a moment. The apostles now have been preaching the gospel. They've been arrested and cast into prison, but God said, I'm not finished with the message yet. And so he released them from prison. And by the way, the Pharisees didn't know that, so they sent guards to rescue or to get the apostles out of prison to bring them to the council. But when they got there, the guards were standing outside like nothing happened. They looked inside, there was nobody there. The guards were standing guard over an empty jail cell. Because during the night, God had delivered them. And by the way, when God wants to do something, He can get it done. It doesn't matter who's watching over what. God can get it done. Well, they come. The word comes back and says, listen, you know those guys that you were looking for, that were preaching, that you had locked up? They're back preaching again over here on Solomon's porch. So they went and got them and brought them to the council. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 is where we're going to pick up with the story. Now, would you stand with me as we read beginning in verse number 27? And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, that's the name of Jesus, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, he said, they need to be excused. I want to talk to you guys about something. And said, Gamaliel did unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But, verse 39, our text verse, but if it, that same it that he talked about in verse 38, he says, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now I want you to go back to verse number 38 and 39. And I want you to circle at the end of verse 38, the little word it. I want you to circle in verse number 39, it's mentioned twice, it. I want you to circle that little word, and here's what I'm going to preach to you about this morning. If it be of God. Whatever Gamaliel's talking about here, that it, he said, if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. He says, and if you attempt to overthrow it, you're going to be found to fight against God. And I want to speak to you on that subject this morning, if it be of God. Now, Father, we ask you, please, this morning, meet with us. Would you certainly do your work in our hearts? Open our spirit this morning to what you have for us. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for the outcome of this service today. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. You ever tried to stop something from happening only to realize that everything that you did came to naught? There was nothing that you could do to stop whatever you were trying to stop. So finally, here's what happened. It dawned on you that all of the energy and all of the effort that you were putting forth to attempt to stop that one thing only cost you time and energy and embarrassment, and you still didn't stop it. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. If you were standing in the middle of a railroad track, and a freight train is coming down the track, and you had every good intentions in the world, and you even believed that you could train, and it's still coming. You're standing in the middle of the tracks, and you're there with your hand held out like this. You might have good intentions. You might think that you have the ability, but in the end, you'll get run over. Because doesn't it make sense then that regardless of how sincere you are, regardless of how strong you may think you are, or regardless of what good intentions that you have, the force, the size, and the direction of the train is greater than your ability to stop it. So guess what? There won't be enough grease left from you to fry an egg in. Because it doesn't matter whether you think that you have the ability or that you desire it, or that you have good intentions, the train is bigger than you are.
this morning. Oh, by the way, can you imagine what the obituary would be of a person like this? Man tries to stop train, killed with good intentions. Can you imagine someone that had the audacity to think they could stop a freight train? Can I ask you something? What we're looking at right here, then what gets it and puts it in the mind of people think they can stop God? Listen, can I say to you this morning, you'd have a better chance in stopping the train than you would stopping God? You'd have a better chance in standing in the middle of a railroad tracks and trying to stop a freight train than trying to stop the will of God. My dad told me a long time ago, there's certain things that you don't do. He said, first of all, you don't tug on Superman's cape. He said, secondly, you don't spit into the wind. He said, next, you don't skate in a herd of buffaloes. And then I'm adding this one, and you don't fight against God. Because none of those things are real smart to try to do. You see, this morning in our text verse, we found a little word, it. Gamaliel, who is one of the wise among the Pharisees, has figured something out. He's figured out that two times in their lifetime, two men had started a movement. Both of them died, and the movement died with it. But something that he noticed about this particular thing is that Jesus Christ yet died, was risen, and ascended back to the Father, and yet the movement is still going on. People are still being attracted to him. That little word, it, right there means that one. It means to express a condition or an action. And so when he says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Now, let me give you some history real quick. In Acts chapter 5, what started this whole thing was the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? Ananias and Sapphira were church members. They stole the things of God. You say, what did they steal? Money. Amen. Y'all do believe stealing's wrong, right? Now, the thing about it, it's one thing to steal from Walmart. It's totally different to steal from God. Because all Walmart can do is press charges. God can kill you. So Ananias and Sapphira stole money from God. They held it back, and God said, you've lied against the Holy Ghost. He took Ananias' life, the man, and then his wife Sapphira came in, and he took their life. Listen, the entire area fell into fear of God. Now listen, here's what happened. The apostles began to go do great miracles and signs among the people. And all of a sudden, the people begin to elevate the apostles. They begin to say to the apostles, man, those are great things, and we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And they begin to uplift the apostles. They begin to uplift what the apostles were preaching. Well, what was happening was it was taking followers away from Judaism. It was taking followers away from the Pharisees. And by the way, last time I checked, when people leave, guess what goes with them? Their money goes with them. Well, they couldn't have that, right? So they had to do something to try to stop it. They had to do something to try to stop what was going on in their city. You see, it became public knowledge all over that Ananias and Sapphira, God had killed them. And the apostles again begin to do all these great wonders, and people begin to get saved. People begin to trust Jesus Christ. People are added to the church, added to the Lord. People begin to magnify the apostles and begin to cry out and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, it got so to the point, listen, that people begin from the countryside begin to come and lay their sick people by the side of the road. Amen. That just as the apostles walked down the road, people were being healed just as their shadow passed over them. Amen. I mean, we're talking about something going on here that had never been seen in Israel prior to Jesus Christ. So whatever was happening here, this it that Gamaliel was talking about, he said, if it be of God. If it's of God, you fight against it, you're going to fail to be fighting against God. Well, the Pharisees figured, you know what? We'll just try to stop this. And so here's what they did. They threw the apostles in jail. That's going to stop God. There we go. We're done with God. But that didn't happen because the angel of the Lord went and delivered them out of prison. Put them right back in Solomon's porch. They began to preach the same truths. The angel of the Lord delivered them. The next day, they find them preaching there. And they're wondering, wait a minute, how did all this happen? Well, they weren't really concerned about how it happened as much as they were shutting them up. So they bring the apostles into the council. And Gamaliel, who had a reputation, a good reputation among the people, said, guys, time out here just a minute. Would y'all take the apostles out? I need to talk to you guys for just a minute. You see, there was something different about what these guys were doing compared to the other two things that he was about to mention to them. You see, Gamaliel suspected that something was different now. Something didn't match up the same as it did with Judas or as it did with Judas of Galilee. And so he met with the council and he said, basically, by the way, which was basically the Supreme Court of their day. And he met with them and he said, if this be of God, if it be of God, then are you going to be found to try to overthrow it? Are you going to be found to fight against God? So let me ask you this morning, church. What is the it that Gamaliel is referring to here? What is the context of his case that led him to say that there might be a possibility that this just might be of God? Did it ever dawn on them that what was going on, God may have ordained? Did it ever dawn on them that what was going on, that God may have empowered it? You see, the it here that Gamaliel is talking about is not just one thing. But rather, it's multiple things that are making up a whole that these apostles of Jesus Christ were presenting in Jerusalem. Now listen carefully. This it that Gamaliel was talking about was contrary to everything the Pharisees were about. It was contrary to everything that they taught. It was contrary to all the ideology. It was contrary to everything that they were about. It flew right in the face of their teaching, their philosophy, and, by the way, their control of the people. You see, it was pretty evident to Gamaliel that what was now happening in the city of Jerusalem had all the signs of being divine. And if they fought against it, it was going to be a futile battle. By the way, they would have had a better chance stopping a freight train than trying to stop what was going on in Jerusalem. This morning, if you'll take a look at your Bible in Acts chapter 5, I want to talk to you about some things that make up it. Because when Gamaliel said it, he wasn't talking about one particular entity. When he said, if it be of God, he was talking about a multiple set of different circumstances that made up it. Well, the first thing that it is, it was the message. It was the message. And now listen, let's go back and read it in context here. He says, but if it, the message, be of God, you cannot overthrow the message, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Well, let's go back and put it to the test and find out if the message is of God. Remember when Jesus Christ came on the scene? Remember he came into the presence of John the Baptist? And John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Listen, that came from the Father. That came from above. Listen, that was a stamp of approval. Listen, now on the message. The message that was about to go forth. God the Father had approved it. Well, we know the ministry of Jesus Christ. Quite an incredible ministry, wasn't it? He healed the sick. He made the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He raised the dead. Oh, by the way, in his ministry, they took him and crucified him. And there upon that cross, he looked heavenward and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into thine hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. And listen to me, folks. When he said it is finished, some strange things begin to happen. Graves were opened and some of the dead came back into the city. Now, I don't know about you, that'd be pretty impactful for me, right? God draped the sky dark. Listen, the earthquakes happened and the stones rent themselves. That was a sign. Listen, that was a sign that the message was of God. Hey, can I tell you, even a lost man recognized, remember the centurion? He said, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. A lost man identified that the message was of God. Can I say this to you this morning? It was the message. It was the message. Jesus was the Messiah. They just could not swallow the fact. Can I say something to you this morning? You're going to have to come to the conclusion if you're going to be saved. You're going to have to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There is no other way. And see, the message, Brother Bob, they were teaching that Jesus was the only way. It wasn't through works. It wasn't through baptism. It wasn't through church membership. It was only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They got upset about that. Can I say to you this morning? There's a bunch of people upset about what I'm saying. Yeah. Because there's a bunch of people that don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. They believe in a works-oriented salvation. They believe in a baptism-oriented salvation. They believe in some type of works. They believe in church membership. They believe in taking the Lord's Supper. They believe in all of these things. That is the ingredients that make up salvation. You know what the apostles were preaching? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all they were preaching. And you know what they were trying to stop? They were trying to stop it. The message that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, by the way, and that He'll forgive sins. You say, what sins? All sins. Past, present, and every sin in the future. You say, oh, preacher, but you don't understand what God, what I've done. You don't understand how bad I've been. Well, let me ask you this. When Jesus died on the cross, were all your sins in the future? So that means when He died on the cross and became sin for you, did He not already know what you were going to do? And yet He was still willing to become your Savior. Yeah, all of your sins were in the future. And these men were preaching it. They were preaching the message. Look at verse 20, Acts chapter 5. He says, go, the angel of the Lord told them. Stand and speak in the temple to the people. Listen now. All the words of this life. Go preach the word of this life. In other words, what you have to do to be gloriously born into the family of God. Go to verse 28. Then, in verse 28 it says, saying, the Pharisees did not we straitly command that ye should not teach in this name? Listen to this now. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. He said, listen, guys, y'all have absolutely permeated our whole city with this message of Jesus being the Messiah. Y'all have permeated our entire city. The kids are skipping to J-E-S-U-S. Hey, they're singing about Him. They're skip roping about it. They're talking about Him. They said, we must stop it. The message. They said, we've got to silence the message. But see, that message didn't just include that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah. That message also included salvation. That salvation, listen now, brought the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God. That once a person gets saved, the Spirit of God moves in. Now follow me now. Can I say to you, if you're here this morning, as a child of God, you've got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get. Amen. I'll say it again. You've got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get. You know what the problem? You say, no. You've got to be baptized by the Spirit. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, listen to me. The Spirit of God does want to be in control. The problem is not that we have all the Holy Ghost that we're going to get. The problem is the Holy Ghost don't have all of you He needs to get. That's the problem. You see, the problem is he doesn't have all of me. I've got all of him. He just doesn't have all of me because I've got my will. I've got my way. I like things a certain way. And so, you know what? I'm going to put him on the back burner. The problem is not the Holy Ghost. Hey, he was blown away. Look at verse 32. In their message, they said, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Stop. New doctrine to the Pharisees. What? Holy what? Holy Ghost. What's that? That's God. That's the Lord in you. That's that still small voice that's speaking to you even right now as I speak. Listen, you know what they wanted to stop? They wanted to stop it. They wanted to stop the message of the Messiah. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Because, by the way, you know what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost promotes truth. The Holy Ghost is a guide. The Holy Ghost brings all things to our remembrance. He convicts us about sin. You see, the Pharisees, this was all a new doctrine to them. They had no concept of this. That's the reason. Now listen, that's the reason they thought they were heretics. That's the reason they thought that they were blaspheming the things of God. So guess what they decided to do? They decided we've got to stop it. We've got to stop the message of Jesus Christ. We've got to stop this teaching of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But you know something that really got them? Look at verse 30, Acts 5. When they said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Uh-oh. You know what they said now? They said the reason he ended up on a cross was because of you guys. You put him there. You're the ones that are guilty for the crucifixion. You're the ones whose blood will come back on your head. You're the ones that are responsible for the crucifixion. Let me tell you something. When you're accused of what they just accused them of, they got upset. They were big time upset now. And they said, we've got to stop this message because they're making us look bad. You know what? They felt guilty. They said, hey, we're guilty of putting, they're accusing us of being guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. You see, in their mind, they thought he was a criminal. They thought Jesus Christ was a blasphemer. They thought he had the power of Beelzebub. You see, they said, we must stop it. We must stop the message. Can I say this morning to you, listen very carefully this morning. The Pharisees, when they were accused of putting Jesus on the cross, they got angry. May I remind you this morning, my dear friend, that it was your sin and my sin that crucified the Son of God. You and I were and are guilty of sending Him to the cross. We're guilty as charged. But yet He was willing to endure the cross, despise the shame. And yet, people today are trying to stop it. They're trying to stop the message. You know what the message is? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Salvation in Jesus Christ, heaven for eternity. No salvation in Jesus Christ, hell for eternity. That's the message. And they tried to stop it. They didn't want it. Oh, folks, listen to me. Guess what's going on in America today? You know what they're trying to stop? The message. That, why do you think they don't want the Ten Commandments in public areas? Why do you think they don't want prayer in schools? Why do you think they don't want nativity scenes sitting in the city parks? They're trying to remove the message. Still alive today. But wait a minute, it wasn't just the message. It, go to verse number 24. Look in verse number 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, listen to what it says. They doubted of them whereunto. Listen to this now. This would what? Grow. So the it that they were trying to get rid of was not just the message. Here's the second thing. It was the movement. Because Theudas died, movement dead. Judas of Galilee died, movement dead. Jesus Christ dies, is buried, and is risen again. Movement excels. Movement grows. Movement goes forth. People are being born again. People are shouting in the streets. Glory to God. Listen, something's different about this movement. So they're thinking, listen, if we can shut down the message, then we can stop the movement. And Gamaliel references failed movements of the past. Can I say to you this morning, listen very carefully, there are a lot of failed movements that are still alive today. They call themselves churches. And some of them, you say, wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean they failed? Because they've got failed doctrine. And if you're teaching something other than salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him, that's a failed doctrine. Yeah, it's failed. And it'll come to naught. You see, they failed, Theudas and Judas failed. Gamaliel made a very obvious point. They failed because of the origin. Their origin was men. The origin of Christianity is God. That's the reason it cannot and it will not fail. They were trying to destroy it, the message, and then it, the movement. Remember in verse 28, they said you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Go to verse 36. It talks about Theudas. It talks about Judas of Galilee. Look at verse 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. You know why? Because Theudas and Judas were men. And when they died, guess what happened? Plunk. Done with. Any religion in the world built on anything other than Jesus Christ, guess what it's going to do? Kaplunk. It's going to come to naught. And they were trying to destroy it, the message, and it, the movement. You see, listen to me. This movement was not led by an earthly king. This movement was led by an eternal king, a heavenly king, Jesus Christ. You see, it had filled, the doctrine had filled Jerusalem. People were now telling their schoolmates, hey, listen, have you heard about this Christianity stuff? Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about salvation by grace through faith? Have you heard anything about this movement? And people are, man, have we? We hear it's covering the city. We hear that people are being converted to this movement. So the Pharisees said, listen, we'll shut the message down, which will stop the movement. And folks, listen, everybody looking right up here. We live in a very precarious time in America. Amen. There is a movement, whether you know it or not, and you can stick your head in the sand if you want, but there's a movement to dissolve the message. There's a movement in America today to take the message from us. Therefore, if they take the message, they figure that, guess what? They can dissolve the movement. And yet Gamaliel says, but if the message is of God, then the movement has to be of God. And if you fight against the message, guess what? You're going to fight against the movement. You see, he looks at here, folks. I don't have boxing gloves on, but I'm ready to fight for the message and the movement. You say, well, what if we go down? I'm going to go down swinging. That's why. Hey, you know why? Because when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about a message that was ordained of God, promoted by God, backed by God. It's the message they wanted to eliminate. And today they want to eradicate the movement as well. Do you know, even among religious circles, there's a lot of religious people that don't like what I'm saying, but you know something? It doesn't really matter, because if it's in the Bible, it's truth. And listen, you and I need to know the truth, and the truth shall. Thank you. Yeah. That way you don't have to be afraid. If you know that you're right and you know the truth, you don't have to be afraid. And yet the religious crowd is attacking the message, listen, and the movement. Did you hear what I said? Even from within our own ranks, they're siding with the Ishmaelites. They're siding with the heathen. You got politicians and people all over it. And unfortunately, too many pulpits today are siding against the message. You know why? Because so many of them don't preach a pure gospel. They preach some type of works-oriented idea for salvation. They don't like what we're talking about today. You know the thing that's the biggest thorn in their flesh and their side? What's the biggest thorn in a lot of religion's side today is the truth that once a person is sincerely born into the family of God, it's forever. Boy, that's just a thorn. That's a burr in their saddle, man. Because you know what? They cannot fathom the concept that a person could be honestly saved and sin again. Now, where'd they get that? They didn't get it from the Bible. That's man-made doctrine. You see, the thing about it is, folks, here's what we got to understand. When God saves us, He saves our soul. He enlightens our spirit. But you know what? There's not a whole lot of anything that ever happened to your flesh. Now, one day there will be. One day it's going to come into submission to the glorification of God. But right now, I'm stuck with it. That's a Bible principle. It's in the Scriptures. But listen, when you start preaching a message and you have a movement like that, even some of the religious crowd is going to come against it. Now, let me hit the last thing. You ready? Remember when Gamaliel said, but if it be of God, that it's the message. Jesus is the way. And He's the only way. And if you don't come that way, you're going to die without Christ. That's the way. That's the way it is. That's the it. The message was plain and clear. Listen, folks, you can't get any plainer than what Jesus put it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have. Wait a minute. Have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Last time I checked, that means it lasts forever. Hey, folks, this is not complicated. This is Christianity 101. So Gamaliel said, if we try to stop it, the message, if we are found to try to stop it, the movement, so then by putting the apostles in prison, the third thing that they wanted to stop, you'll find in verse 41 and 42, and here it is. The it is not just the message. The it is not just the movement. Listen now, here's the last part. It's important because this, as far as us conservative Baptists, evangelistic Baptists, the third thing they thought that they, listen, we've got to stop the methods. Okay, we've got to stop the methods. We've got to stop this door-to-door evangelism stuff. So you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to pass city ordinances against us. They're trying to pass state laws against us. Listen, if most of the government had its way, for us to even run buses, they want us to get some kind of license to do this kind of stuff. You know what they're saying? Listen, we'll attempt to stop the message and the movement, but we may have to work this in reverse order. We'll stop the methods. We'll stop the ability to be able to get out the message, then we can stop the movement. But I want you to notice here. Now listen, did you notice in verse number 40? Once they said, okay, Gamaliel, okay, time out. We'll go with what you say. But did you notice they just couldn't help themselves? Look in verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, notice this now, and beaten them. Stop. Did they have to do that? They didn't have to do that. Why did they do it then? Come on, help me out. Why did they do it then? Hoping to stop the methods. Hopefully to send a signal that you do this again, I will beat you again. And you do this again, I will throw you in prison again. And you do this again, if I really feel like it, I will kill you the next time. By the way, that's what they wanted to do to begin with. They wanted to take the apostles' lives. And yet they beat them and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now listen, boy, we'd be disturbed if the scripture ended right there, right? But I want you to listen to how they responded in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Now, I'd still be encouraged if the scripture stopped right there. But God says, I got one more thing, because I'm going to put in the scriptures, even after they were beaten, even after they were threatened, they didn't stop the methods. They did not stop the methods. Look at what it says. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Stop. Government said stop. Right? Supreme Court said stop. Hey, is that not what he said? Did they not tell them stop this? Well, then why didn't they stop it? Because if you remember earlier, Peter said, we're going to obey God rather than men. And listen, follow me now, follow me, because you got a degree of Christians today said, well, if they pass a law that we can't go, then it's wrong to be going out preaching the word. No, it's not. Because when the law tries to supersede the law of God then takes preeminence. Let me put it in terms that you can understand. The word of God trumps everything. Yeah. The message trumps everything. The movement trumps everything. And the methods trump everything. Hey, they proclaimed the word of God daily. They went to every house. Hey, these were unorthodox methods that the Pharisees and the people in Jerusalem had never seen before. They had never seen door-to-door evangelism. They had never seen preaching like they had seen. Man, these apostles became aggressive. They became vocal. They were unashamed. They were adamant about the message. They were adamant about the movement. They were adamant about the methods. And yet, the religious crowd of that day tried everything they could do to stop the message, the movement, and the methods by threatening them, silencing them, by putting in prison, scare tactics, by beating them. And the only response they got from the apostles was they rejoiced. They counted it worthy to suffer shame for His name. Well, the world of evil men today, I'm sad to tell you, have the same philosophy as the Pharisees did. They're trying to stop the message because they feel if they can stop the message, they can stop the movement. Hey, can I just stop just a minute and say hooray for Texas? All these knucklehead pro-choice people down there. Listen, if you watched any of that, did you notice who the radicals were? The radicals weren't the Christians, but that's what we get accused of being. The people that were shouting down and trying to stop the vote were the liberals. But you know something? It didn't stop them. I like it. Because you know what? If you're a Christian here this morning, and you're supporting pro-choice, you're not right with God. Amen. I'll just say it right there. You say, well, I'm not coming back. That's okay. The truth is the truth, folks. Abortion is killing babies. It's what it is. Now, got that off my chest. I said they're trying to stop the message. They're trying to stop the movement. Hey, they don't think, folks, there's a lot of Christians still left in America, but I think they're about to find out there's more than they think there are. And the thing about it is, hey, folks, listen, you know what God, Brother Garner, may be doing? He may be doing these things to try to flush us out. Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's okay. We need to come out of the closet everybody else is. Huh? Hey, did you notice I don't see anybody reporting on TV for straight people? I think I'm going to go see if I can buy some airtime and go online and say, listen, I just want everybody to know, announce y'all, everybody coming here, I just want y'all to know I'm straight. Hey, can I say something to you folks? They wouldn't give me the time of day. Amen. I said, man, I didn't know I was getting to this kind. That's okay. I'm totally off what I wanted to say, but I'm just here to tell you that, listen, they're trying to stop the message. They're trying to stop the movement. Listen to me, child of God. They're trying to stop the methods. They want to shut you up. Listen, stop the methods. Then people never evangelize. You know what's trying to be created today? An evil utopia. That's what's trying to be created today. An evil utopia. Filled with lies and lusts and lasciviousness. By the way, which will take over our society. It'll corrupt our society. It'll corrupt every facet of our politics. And if we're not careful, it'll corrupt religion. Now, let me finish this and say this. Gamaliel probably wasn't even a saved man. He had more sense than some Christians do. He said, if it be of God, If it, the message, if the movement, if the methods be of God, you cannot, listen, you cannot overthrow it. That's the reason when I saw the state legislature, the House and the Senate of the state of Texas pass this new regulation on a 20-week abortion law, I was going, amen! Yes! Because you know what? I don't understand. You say, but yeah, it's still abortion. I understand, but let me tell you something. We're going somewhere. You know what that was? That was over here. One for God, zero for devil. Yeah. Hey, folks, let me finish and say this. God's going to get His way before we get our way. And because He is pro-church, pro-Jesus, pro-life, pro-Bible, and He's anti-Satan, He's anti-evil, you know what? All He needs is people to stand up. That's what He needs. He just needs a voice. He just needs some people to open their mouth and listen with the Word of God in their heart. Proclaim the truth. That's all He's looking for. You going to join us? Say, I don't know if I want to join this thing. Hey, let me tell you something. Can you imagine being in a church that Jesus pastored? Most of us wouldn't even qualify for membership. It'd be tough, wouldn't it? And yet here we are in a day to where God needs you as much as He ever has needed you. Why? Because of it. Would you bow your heads this morning? Heads bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, I've been born into the family of God. I'm saved. I'm a born again believer. Won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. All right. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking but me. This is a very important, sacred time. There were a few people I saw that could not raise your hand. Can I ask you this morning, do you want to go to heaven? Can I say to you this morning that Jesus loves you? He's died for you. He's paid your sin debt. And He wants you to respond to it, the message this morning. Hey, listen, you can't be a part of the movement until you trust the message. If you're here this morning and you know not Christ and you couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago and say, preacher, I'm a believer. If I died where I am today, I know that I'm going to heaven. If you couldn't say that, would you at least allow me the privilege of praying for you? For those of you that could not raise your hand, would you raise your hand now and let me pray with you? I want you to be saved. There's a God in heaven that wants you to be saved. I wonder for those who could not raise your hand while ago and say that I'm a believer, but you'd at least let me pray for you and say, preach, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up right now and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Say, that's me. That's me. All right. God bless you. Anyone else will join this one. God bless you. There's two. Say, preacher, that's me. If I died right where I am, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I've got some doubt about my eternal security. I've got some doubt about where I'm going to be in eternity after I die. Come on, be honest before God. Who will join these two and say, preacher, pray for me? Anybody else? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Anybody else?